good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? Good, good. You look good. You look good. You're singing good. And God is good. Amen. Amen. I know we say that. We say that all the time. I remember one time a young man, he whispered, "What's so good about God?" And I mean, you know, just some things you hear scare you. I believe it was, Arian Foster. I don't know if it was on an interview. It's some kind of way he alluded to the fact that he I don't know if he does not believe in God, but or he's an agnostic, but he's disillusioned by so much evil in the world. And that's the truth. There is a lot of evil in this world. But you know what? The evil in this world ought to make us say God is good. Because if we're still here with all of the evil and God is all powerful, all knowing, and he is in charge, he should have wiped us out a long time ago. And everybody in here ought to be able to say God is good. Because we need to first start with ourselves and recognize that we're not all that good ourselves. And if we got what we deserve, you need to say God is good. Because he's gracious and he's merciful and he's given us another opportunity to be amongst the living and to get ourselves right before we meet God. Amen. We meet God one day. I didn't mean the mini sermon this morning, but if you are visiting with us, you're truly an honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We love to have visitors among us. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. And one of the most challenging things I'm finding as I progress in my preaching is it is so difficult to compile what you study in 30 minutes. And I'm understanding why the old preachers preached so long time ago. But I'm gonna try to abide by my time. And I feel like singing, but my voice, I don't know if I can handle a song this morning. I want to sing, but let's open our Bible this morning. All right. Let's open our Bible. God is good, isn't he? God has smiled. Oh, yes. I believe that he has set
me free.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, yes, he smiled on
me.
Yes, he had to me. Well, it was amazing
grace.
Yes, I thank you, Father. Ooh, that saved a
like me.
Well, I once was
lost.
Oh, yes, but now I'm. This was my life. God is good. I see and I know that my God, oh yes, he smiled. I believe that he has set me
free.
Will my God, oh yes, he smiled on. I believe that he's been
good.
I believe that he's been. I know that he's been
good.
Yes, to me. Yes, 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 yes. Lessons from the Valley of Elah. That's what I've titled. This is absolutely, I don't know, absolutely one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I've titled it Lessons from the Valley of Elah to try to keep you interested. You've heard it so many times. I want to try to share something. Maybe perhaps you have not seen, but I know there's so much. The Bible tells us the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. And there is much to learn from God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 2. 1 Samuel 17, verse 2. Stay with us, if you will. If there are any young people who don't know the story of David and Goliath, my goodness, You need to know it. 1 Samuel 17:2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah. That's where they were camped. And this actually is a place, if we had a map, you know where Jerusalem is. If you're facing the map, Elah would be sort of west of Jerusalem, land that was in the area where the Philistines, five cities of the Philistines were, that just gave the Jews, the children of Israel, the blues for a long time. And they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. I know I'm not going to have time to finish this lesson, and I'm kind of going backwards. Junior, they have my scriptures back there, but they might not be able to keep up with me because I want to at least get to my points, because there are some lessons in this valley. And sometimes I think we read the story, but we miss the lesson. We like a good story, but we don't know what applies to us. And this is Saul and the children of Israel, and they are there in Elah. But you got to know one of my points, if I don't get to it, is there is spiritual weakness. Spiritual weakness affects a nation. In other words, see, Saul and the children of Israel, the Philistines gave the children of Israel trouble because God told them a long time ago when he promised them the land, listen, you possess the land, and for some reason they would not possess what God told them. And the Philistines, they were a snare to the children of Israel. And even when we get to King Saul and he's there, they should have gotten rid of the Philistines a long time ago, but they disobeyed God. And now they are facing them. So see, the story of David Goliath has a lot of history. Go, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter 23. I'll go backwards. Verse 31. He said, I will fix your boundary, speaking to the children of Israel, from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand and will drive them out before you. Now notice this. God says, I'm going to deliver them, but it didn't mean that he was just going to make them die instantly. In other words, there are promises that God gives us, and he tells us, if you have enough faith to go get it, it's yours, but we have a part to play also. The Israelites had a part to play, and he told them, they are yours, but you got to go do it. And then he said this, verse 32, you shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. Verse 33, they shall not live in your land, because they will make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. And we fast forward to 1 Samuel through a lot of history. Verse 17, when they are there now, they are before the Philistines again, and they had been fighting with them, but they didn't do what God said to do in the first place. And now they remain, and here they are in the valley with the Philistines, and they encounter them. Verse number 3, 1 Samuel 2:3. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. You see the scene. You paint the picture with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was almost 10 feet tall. Big, big man. Big to look upon. And to jump down to verse number 10, Again, the Philistines said, this is Goliath speaking, I defy the ranks of Israel to this day. Give me a man that will fight, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice, spiritual weakness affects a nation. Spiritual weakness affects a nation. See, you are an individual, but your faith, your spirituality, even as an individual, affects more than just you. Amen. Yes, you are the man in your house. How you act, what you do in your house. Whether or not, you see, your family, many times, often, if you are a man in the house and you don't pray, nobody prays. Amen, somebody. I know some of these women will take over and pray for you. But you as a man, you as a woman, your spirit, your language in your house affects your whole house. And here's Saul, and Saul was one who was one king. They had gotten to this point, but Saul, who started off as one chosen by God, at this point he became gradually weaker and weaker. And he started doing some things. And even before we get to chapter 17 where we are, go to chapter 13 and let's see Saul. Chapter 13, 1 Samuel, chapter 13 and verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, "You've acted foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God." And the word fool is a hard word. It really is, and you don't often want to use that word. But the Bible does use it sometimes. It says, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, the Bible says that. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I know that wouldn't be anybody in here, but when the scriptures say you act foolishly, you're acting foolishly. Now, I just have to ask this question. You know, is there anybody in here that's been acting a fool? I just ask. Of course, I ask myself this before I ask you that. And, you know, sometimes my wife, she haven't said it, but sometimes she look at me like, you're not acting right. But it says Saul had acted fool. Anytime we say, do something that's in defiance of the will of God, we can say also that we've acted a fool. Now, I don't want nobody calling me a fool. And I know you don't either. That you talking about that might be a fight. If somebody calls you a fool, you know, that's not wise to do. But you can guarantee any time you do something that is against the will of God or the commandments. Do I need to go down the list of what foolish acts are? I don't think I need to do that. And sometimes we don't want anybody to point them out. But anytime we do something, God told Saul specifically what to, let me finish reading this. He says, "You have not kept the commandment of the Lord which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have," notice, "he would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Then it says, "but now your kingdom shall not endure." Now Saul was the king. And see, you know, it takes grace to become king. And, and even sometimes after we get grown, you know, it's amazing. I tell you what, life is hard enough and you accomplish something. You know, one thing that's so hurting to me, I watch these shows. One is called American Greed. And, you know, this show, it most of the time it depicts somebody who's well up in age, who has accomplished something, and they get so greedy and they just ripping folks off. And I say, you know, Lord, you get to be 65 years old and still acting foolishly. There's something wrong with that picture. And I know, Lord have mercy, I know life can beat us. People, we get frustrated, we get confused, we get desperate. But Saul was the king. He was the king of Israel. And all he had to do was obey God's simple commands. And Saul acted foolishly. This was an humbling lesson to me. I said, Lord, have mercy. You know, it is so easy to ruin your reputation over foolish acts. It's so easy. And I just ask for the mercy and grace of God. Lord, don't let me, after I reach 55 years old, to start acting a fool. Now, I'm talking to myself. You don't have to take it like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Don't let me act. Please keep me from acting a fool. and disobeying your commandments. Now, this is the real deal. I know, so you know, there's certain lessons we like to hear sometimes. And the word of God, it admonishes us, it encourages us, but it also so should remind us. Well, okay, I thought you were preaching about David and Goliath. I am. But I want you to show you to know how and why the children of Israel got in the position that they did. Notice, it wasn't because everybody was acting a fool then. It was because a few people. And sometimes we bring hardship on too many people because we are being selfish with how we live in ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I know I still want God's blessings. All of them. Lord, shower me. Yeah, I'm telling you, I think I've got, I believe I can handle your blessings. And I say it out loud. Sometimes when I'm developing, I'm afraid to, because I say, Lord, I might, after I preach, I don't want to become a castaway myself, but it needs to be said. We do church, needs to hear it. Yeah, yeah. Saul, Lord have mercy, he paid a big price. He said, Saul, I was going to give you, your kingdom was going to last forever. He said, but now it's not going to endure. Then he said, the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. You see, that's David. Amen. That's David. He says, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over the people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. Your spiritual weakness, it affects a lot of people. It really does. And so we need to all pray for strength. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray to be strong when we need to be strong. Remember, when we are doing our individual foolish acts, they affect more than just not just about you. It's me. It's my family. It's my children. It's my church family. It's the nation. Go back to Samuel, if you will. Stay with me, if you will. Here King Goliath, he defies. He says, I defy. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Again, the Philistine said, I defy, verse 10, 17, 10, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. One of my points is it's dangerous. Defying God has consequences. Defying God has consequences. I could spend some time on that, but the Philistine defied. And just because you know somebody, God sometimes he used even evil folk to carry out his will. But you know what? If you look back in the Old Testament, you find out God come back and he deal with those evil folk. He don't let them just fly handle free because they're pressing. He's defying the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. That's what Goliath says. It's a fatal mistake to defy the living God by opposing his children. That's what Goliath was doing. He was opposing his children. When people see some of you right now, you may be in a position on your job, wherever it might be, that someone is challenged, someone is defying you, they're mistreating you for whatever reason. But if you're a child of God, if somebody mistreats a child of God, they're mistreating God. You remember that? Yes, Goliath was defying Israel, but he was really defying God. And he was arrogant about it, as many people are arrogant. One thing that I have to be careful about myself, you know, as we as Christians, you know, Jesus, people think you're weak. Yeah, we do. People roll over us. You know, I have people sometimes, you know, sometimes people say things, you know, to me, about me. And sometimes people don't think you know what you're saying about them. You know, you start talking about people, and you don't think they know. You know, I'm telling you. See, even like our church, this church. This is not but to anybody. This is just an example. Okay, like in the church. See, you start talking about one of the elders, or start talking about the preacher. I'm talking about Brother Will, because I'm not talking about me. And it's a small church. You remember that? See, you, when you start putting people down, and especially when you don't have all the facts, that's not wise. It's just not wise to do that. And you know, and some things, you know, you hear, and one thing is difficult. You know, the human side of you wants you to go and deal with it. You know, the human side, you don't want to deal with it. But then you say, well, no, you got two, no, God, you on a different path, and don't leave it alone. And it's difficult sometimes to leave it alone, but that's just what you need to do. Amen? Leave it alone. Because you don't have time to go be putting out fires and dealing with folk and folks talking and this is going on. But also those that's doing that, you remember, yeah. Goliath was so arrogant. Notice, he was talking so bad about not only David, all the children of Israel, all of God's children. And it seemed like he had the upper hand. But God, the old folks say he sits high. God know what we talking about in our living rooms, in our cars, in our little circles. God hears us when we are putting down the work of God, the children of God, the works of God. God knows what we're saying. God, and there are a lot of individuals who want the Fifth Ward Church of Christ to fall. And you know, there was a time I wouldn't say anything like that, but you know, I'm getting older, and you know, and I try to get the church to be aware. You know, the devil is so busy. But don't you go trying to challenge everybody about everything that they said, because God has his eye on everything. And some of the stuff God gonna have to take care of. Amen. Amen. But don't be guilty of defying the children of God, because when you do, you challenge God, you defy God yourself. And I want to stay on God's good side. Yeah, Goliath put himself in a bad position. He just didn't know it yet. You know, some folk, when they think they got the upper hand and they're arrogant and they think they got it going on, they just don't know. They're on their way down. Amen, somebody. That's why I knew I wasn't going to have time to finish this. Listen now notice this. Verse 17, 1 Samuel 17:16, the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. And some of you young folks, you need to read the full story. I don't have time to cover the whole story. But this Goliath, he went every morning. He went forth and he challenged the children of Israel. And when they heard, let me jump down to verse 20. Church, jump down to verse 20, 17:20. And so David rose early in the morning. David was a young lad. He was not even in the army at this time. His father Jesse sent him down to the camp to give food to his brothers. He had three brothers who were there in the army. And he sends him down. So David arose early in the morning. He left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Now, the army of Israel acted like they were going out for battle, but every time they hit the Goliath came out, they went running. Let me read verse 27. Verse 21, Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, they call him, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words. It's the words that he's spoken that made the people dismayed and made them great. The scripture uses a term, and I don't know if we catch it. It said they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Grown men in battle array with all of their weapons, this man was talking, one man, and they were afraid. Now, he was 10 feet tall. You can talk about those people if you want to. If I was back there, I might have been kind of afraid myself. You know, and that's how we are. We say, why were they afraid? You probably would have been afraid too. You've been put in that position, you know. But David went down. He hadn't heard the words. And as he was talking, he came out. He heard the word, the same words David heard them. One young man. All throughout scripture, there's a lesson that you need to understand. God, that's why every person, I wish I could box, you could box everybody out right now. See nobody but yours. Understand that you and God, by yourself, with God is a majority all the time. God can work with you if you have faith yourself that God can do it. We got to understand that. Don't ever underestimate the power of one person plus God. Male or female, young or old, David heard the words. Oh, Lord, you got to see this. Listen to verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, notice they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Young people in here right now, especially if you're teenagers, those of us that's older, don't. And Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Don't let folks put you down because you're young. Now, you are young. You be respectful. Know that we're always learning. But all the grown, sometimes we get older and we start looking at, that ain't going to work. And there's no way we're going to get that done. And you know, we start getting cynical and we see things. You want to know one of the reasons why many churches are not growing or not doing the Lord? There is not enough faith in the church. Yeah. Yeah, folks, all they talk about is what's not, who's going to say, let's do, we can. Amen. Yeah. And you get too many people sitting back, moaning, groaning, and putting down everything, and we can't do this, and no need in us starting this, and well, we just need to take care of ourselves, and that's negative talk, that's what happens. And all these grown men, and it says, none of this is what the Bible says. It says they fled means they ran. And Goliath wasn't even running. He was just talking. And they got away from him. I said, Lord, have mercy. What kind of scene must that have been? The men of Israel. Have you seen this man? Listen to the way they were talking. Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. He's been coming 40 days. Yes, he is. Same man. He said this, and it will be, now then they started, it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house. It's like they were trying to talk each other in God. You know, the king going to whoever kills this man, they going to have it made. Like, well, get up and go. They were trying to talk somebody else into doing it. But David was there. Notice, and the church need to hear this also. Let's see. Rewards motivate. Ain't nothing wrong with rewards. Yeah, our young people need to know there are rewards for living a Christian life. Amen. Yeah, after all, why would you be living a Christian life? They are great rewards. Notice what David said. Listen to verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach? But David said, what did you say? This young lad who was listening. And I believe sometimes as we get older, we forget there are rewards for doing God's will. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus at that time was not talking about you eternal life. He says that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He says, while you are living on this earth, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have the best life. And sometimes we forget that you are a child of God and God will bless you for doing his will. Amen, somebody. Yeah, now, you know, we don't exploit, and, you know, I don't believe in, you know, trying to exploit the church and trying to milk the church so everybody be riding around in Cadillacs, but there is nothing wrong for a Christian being comfortable. Amen, somebody. Don't get mad. I don't have a new car right now, but Lord have mercy. You know, don't talk about me. I'm not fixing to go buy a Rolls Royce. You know that. But that blessing's for being a Christian. And some of the blessings are material blessings. Yeah, I don't want to lead you astray, but David said, he says, he's going to do what? And notice this now. He says this. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living? God, David already had his mind made up. The people answered him in one accord with his word, saying, thus he would be done for the man. In other words, David, this young lad, and most scholars believe that at this time, he was probably at least a teenager. 17, 18 years old, and these grown men, they repeated it again. They're like, oh, we don't care about you being 17. You can be crazy if you want to, and this is what'll be done. You go get him. Because they knew they were not going. Yeah. And here it is, David, as he's speaking this powerful reassurance that this man, we're going to allow this to happen. And I hope that we as a church, we don't cripple those that have faith. We don't diminish their faith. I hope we're not that type of church. I hope we're the type of church before this year is out, as we are in the time period. Those of you that are members here, you know, around November, we start planning our calendar for next year. We don't know if we're going to make it to next year, but as our ministry leaders, as our deacons and our elders, as we plan our calendars, I hope it's a faith calendar. We need to notice this. We need to do more than what we have done. We need to do things that require faith, that will overcome big obstacles. But it takes people of faith, and it takes faith followers who will make it happen. Because we know God gonna do his part. And David, notice it. It's like David is talking so confident. I know some of you saying, he was young and crazy. Let me get to the fight, because I only have 7 minutes. Let me get to the fight. My first point was spiritual weakness affects a nation. One of my points was defying God has consequences. If you can find that out. Now, one of my points, my next point is paralyzing fear is a reproach to God's people. Paralyzing fear. Because God did not give us the spirit of fear, if you will. Now you see the state of all of these people. The Bible says he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Understand, Christianity is not a vacation. Christianity is not a cruise. Some folks say, well, I'm getting baptized because I want everything to go right. Well, that's the wrong reason. You do know Jesus suffered on the cross, right? Yeah, he died for our sins, right? And what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying that when you become a Christian, a child of God, there are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things that not only are worth fighting for, that we must stand and fight for. And David says, man, this man is cussing us out. He's defying everybody. And then you know David was an humble man. He was a shepherd. He was not going out looking for a conflict. But he heard what this man said and how it was affecting his hope. Would you allow somebody to come stand in your yard, brothers, and antagonize your family that they can't come outside? You're a Christian, but you better do something. Lord have mercy. Verse 41. Then the Philistines came up. The Philistine, this Goliath. It's time. Verse 41. He came on and approached David with the shield bearer. I didn't read what he was packing. You first part of Samuel, you see that he had a coat of armor. He weighed 125 pounds. That's what he wore. He had a shaft. Most scholars will say it weighed 65 pounds. The head of the spear weighed 15 to 25 pounds. He was carrying that. He had a shield bearer and a shield. He says, and the shield bearer were in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, disrespected him, ridiculed him. What? For he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. He had a baby face. He had a baby face, and I tell you, don't we estimate how folk look? You know, what's the guard that played who won the NBA championship, play for the Golden State Warriors? It's Steph Curry. Some of you didn't know anything about him. If you saw him on the street, he just looked like a little baby face kid. But when he get out on that court, he will crucify you. And that's just what he did. Yeah, don't go by appearance. No. Don't make that mistake. Yeah, verse 43, the Philistines said to David, this is the Philistine talking. I wish I could slow down. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? That was David's choice of weapons. And the Philistine, notice as I said it earlier, you didn't know it's in the Bible. The Philistine cursed David by his God. Some of you were, ooh, why the Bible didn't put in there what he said? Some of those curse words that you know about. Yeah, he cursed David. No, and some things you got to put yourself that this big 10-foot tall David, young and ruddy, and this man, am I a dog? Y'all send this little chump out of here to fight me, and man, look, and you call him every name under the sun. You know, sometimes we curse today, we use God's name. You should stop doing that. Stop that. And he was cursing him, and you know, I was thinking about that. I said, boy, have mercy. Notice this. And they had an audience. As they're in the mountain, the children of Israel, they watch it. Don't you know they were watching everything? Do understand as we live our Christian lives that people watch us? Yes. Mm. Your neighbors, you might not see them, but they see you, don't they? I forget what you're talking about. Notice this. Don't you see your neighbors? Yeah. I went home last night and my wife say, yeah, you know, somebody moving in the house over there. I said, how you know? Oh, I saw them. You know, people, listen. If you married, and you leave out your house and say 2 a.m. and you think nobody don't see you, you do it twice, somebody gonna see you. Oh, I knew I was gonna run out of time. Okay, listen. The Philistine said to David, And you know, one thing I've learned, tactic the devil uses is fear, putting fear in folks. You seen these boxing matches where they promote these boxing matches? These guys come on and they just talking crap. You ain't standing a chance. They be talking about each other and just talking. And haven't fought the fight yet at all. Trying to put something in the other person's mind. And they tell me Floyd Mayweather fought last night. And I watched a little interview they were doing. I don't know how I saw it, maybe a couple of weeks ago. And this guy, he was so confident. And I know Floyd Mayweather. And I say, ooh, man, Floyd Mayweather might be in trouble. I looked at the paper this morning. When I got to my computer, said it was a total demolish. Don't be afraid of words. You know, there's a phrase, sticks and stones may. But the words will hurt you. Now, I won't say they won't hurt you, but don't be afraid and stifle the words. He says, now, and notice how much he talked and how much David talked. Then he said, come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. See, you know, when you talk like that to evil folk, they think you're crazy. But notice, he said, with the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day, the Lord, give God the credit. This day, David wanted it to be understood. Notice that. Remember, there is an audience. He's not only speaking for himself. He's speaking for the children. That's why when you accomplish anything in your family, at your job, wherever you might be, though God has given you the gift, the ability, the talent to do it, make sure you openly give God glory. Because there are people watching and they need to understand where your strength comes from. Yeah. You know, you accomplish a great goal on your job and you come home and share it with your wife and with your children. Say, stop. It's time to pray and thank God. So your children can grow their faith. They know where the strength comes from in this family, and it comes from God. And David, before he did anything, he gave the credit. Lord, have mercy to God. David says, whom you've taunted, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down. Now you say what you will or may. But I tell you what, I bet you he started getting Goliath's attention when he said this. He says, I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know, notice this, he's saying it loud enough that everybody could hear, may know the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. And listen, I just don't have time to, yes you do, no I don't, to read the rest. But understand this. After David said this, he uttered these words. I know it got Goliath's attention. He told him specifically what he was going. He says, I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to take your head. Now, if I was listening, I'm like, this little runt. I'm like, you know, I would have started looking like, maybe he got somebody else just fixing to help him. Because if you read the next verse, it says, the Philistine ran. The Philistine said, I better hurry up and kill this young man. But he didn't know he was running to his death.
Amen.
Your homework is to read the rest, because you will see that David took, he picked up five stones, but he didn't have to use but one of them. The first stone that he see, listen, see, when God is on your side, I know it sounds so offensive to some of you, but when there's something bigger than you, you know you can't do it by yourself. You got to go to God for it. I know somebody is dealing with something that's bigger than you right now. Please learn from David. Dare to have the faith that God not only can, but he will do it. You have the faith. It can't be this wavering faith. But he took one stone, he threw the stone, it sunk, the scriptures say, it sunk in his head. I wish they need to make a movie. Maybe they have. It sunk in his head. Listen, this giant never drew his sword. Never threw a lick. David didn't take a scar. He fell like a redwood tree. And everything David said, he did. Oh, I wish I could have, you know, some things are so gory in the Old Testament. It says, after he fell, David went and he took Goliath's sword. Now, David is a little young man. And so this is me now. This is not the Bible. So ignore it if you want to. But he took his sword. So he probably took him two hands to grab his sword. But he took his sword and he... Oh, that's nasty, Brother Gary. That's God. And he cut his head off. See, there's some things that's so against the will of God. And I know we're meek and we're lowly at heart. But there's some things that's so in defiance of the will of God, you got to cut the head off. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't play with it. You got to kill it. Now, don't nobody go out here trying to shoot nobody and kill anybody. Because even as Christians, everything we do must first of all be in love according to the will of God. But some things you can't play with. When it's wrong altogether. And David did that. I don't know. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and we're living a faithless life. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're not committed. We are wavering so much. We are not truly benefiting and being a child of God, because we won't fully commit. Notice, I wish I had time. After David cut the giant's head off, all of the children of Israel, David told him, he said, all the bodies of the Philistines are going to fill the streets. Everybody all of a sudden got all of this, all the men started yelling and screaming, let's go kill them. The same men who ran and fled, they became warriors. Somebody is waiting on somebody right now to step up.
Yes.
Some, your children, your wife, the church. See, listen, the church is not going to run any faster than the leaders.
Amen.
That's just, now this probably needs to be said in a leadership meeting. I thank God I serve men that have faith. But the church can't run any faster than the leaders run.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. And so if the leaders don't run, we hold back. We hold back the whole church. And now we can get personal. It's the same way. Sisters, See, that's why I love the passion our sisters are now having for our young girls, our young ladies. I thank God, because it takes some energy, it takes some effort to do that, but somebody need to step up. See, all young ladies that's under 18 not having sex with everybody. We don't even hardly talk about that. But somebody needs to have faith and say, we can live a godly life as young ladies in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen, somebody. Somebody need to come today. My time is up. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I do believe the Christian life is the absolute best life. It's where all of our blessings are. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, then God adds you to his church, to his family, where all the blessings are. But understand, you still won't benefit from being a Christian if you don't exercise your faith. If you don't add to your faith virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, if we don't continue to grow, we don't benefit. And we bless so many when we exemplify the faith that our servant David had. You hear, you need to come to the Lord. You hear, you need to ask for prayer. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song of invitation?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you now the invitation, oh, prepare.